Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's good to be with you here in this space as we celebrate All Saints Sunday. It's our hope that as we gather this morning for worship, that you would be blessed by our being here together. We'll be celebrating the names of folks in our congregation and in our greater community who have gone on to be with God this day. And so we grieve with you as we celebrate those lives of the cherished saints who have been a part of our congregation over the years. But we pray that in the midst of celebrating and remembering these folks, that you would be blessed in this space. So as we gather here, we want to let you know that at this point, we're encouraging folks to continue wearing their masks throughout the entire service, which means that there isn't any eating or drinking within the sanctuary. We'll be serving communion as we have the last couple of months here. At the end of the service, we'll invite people to take the elements and receive them outside. So that's just one of our ways that we're sort of modeling not eating and drinking in the sanctuary at this time to keep people safe as best as we can. But we're grateful to be able to be gathered here in worship. As we planned this service, I begged our music director, Susan Snow, to play for all the saints on the organ, and so we're blessed that she's here. We'll be able to hear the organ this morning as we sing For All the Saints, which is one of my favorite hymns. We sing it every year at annual conference. And when you get like 2,000 United Methodist clergy and lay folk together to sing For All the Saints, the walls like shake. They just vibrate, and I miss that this year. Every year at annual conference, we celebrate clergy and spouses of clergy and lay people in the conference who passed away. And I told Susan, I was like, I need that. I need that music. I need the organ. And Susan said that she would play along with the video. Mike Tooman's here also to help lead us through worship this morning, and I'm grateful for Sue Urban, who will be assisting us as our liturgist this morning. I pray that this service is a blessing to you. As we gather here, you know, there are all kinds of reasons to be anxious, to be worried, to be worked up with all of the things going on in the world today, but may this service be for you a blessing, a balm, a calm in the midst of the storm. As we worship God this day, may God be a calming, peaceful presence as we move through our morning together. And with that, let us worship the Lord together this day. Amen.
The scripture lesson this morning is from the book of John. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Bailey. I am the Director of Children and Student Ministries here at First United Methodist Church. Hello to everyone joining us online. I hope that this service has been a blessing to you. It was really, really a blessing to sit through the first service at 8 o'clock and see all of these candles being lit by people who have someone that they are remembering today. So if you were wondering what was going on with these candles, that's what we're doing today. We're remembering the people who have gone before us, the people that we love and cherish who are no longer with us, who have died and passed on to be with Jesus, to be with our Savior. That is amazing. But I love our scripture today, because what I feel like we have a problem with in our world is feeling things and being okay with allowing people to feel things. I don't know about you, but when I was little, if I scraped my knee, I was told, "Put your toughies on, Bailey, you'll be okay. Don't cry, you're fine, right? Which, I mean, to a five-year-old, yes, I was fine. I scraped my knee, it wasn't the end of the world. But then I think we take that message, "Put your toughies on," and we apply it to everything else. We might apply it to when someone dies and we maybe don't feel okay crying or feel okay feeling that loss and acknowledging that it hurts. It hurts that those people aren't with us. When I lit my candle this morning at the 8 o'clock service, I was remembering someone who was very close to me in high school who passed away very suddenly before I graduated, the year before I graduated, and it was really nice to just acknowledge that it still hurts that she's gone, and that is years later. And I love our scripture reading this morning because it just showed me that Jesus wept. That line just sticks out to me. Jesus cried over Lazarus, even though he knew that he was about to raise him from the dead and bring him back to life. Jesus cried because Lazarus was gone. And he was his friend, and that hurt. So I would just encourage all of you to take today, if you're at home, light a candle at home. There really is something to that, to just remembering someone with a physical act. So take the time, remember someone at home, think of someone that you miss dearly, and light a candle for them. And to everyone here, I'd encourage you, as we go through this service, when you feel moved, take that time and light a candle and just allow yourself to feel those things, because Jesus didn't run away from those feelings. He didn't say, "Put your toughies on." He said, "It's time to weep and it's time to be sad, and that's okay." But we still can remember that we have that hope too, that hope is coming of resurrection and life again. Let's pray. God, as we remember today all of the people who aren't with us anymore, who have died and aren't by our sides, aren't going to be there maybe for the holidays, we just take the time to remember them today, to remember their smiles, their laughs, the good times that we had together, and to just acknowledge that it's okay to feel sad that they're gone. It's okay to feel angry. It's okay to feel however we feel about them being gone. So I just encourage everybody today to take some time to feel those feelings, not to run away from them, just like Jesus did. Thank you, Father, for the comfort that you provide and for the example that you gave us in your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike, for your music and gift of praise this morning. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who went ahead of us to prepare a place not made with human hands, but eternal in the heavens. Amen. I can still remember this like it was yesterday. It was about 20 years ago at this point that my grandmother was at the end of her journey with breast cancer. We all kind of knew it was coming, and I had gone down during our winter break from Albion College to go be with her, and my grandfather down in Clearwater, Florida area, in Tampa, Florida, and we were down there together, and we were sitting around the dinner table, and the next day she was going to go in to have an extremely painful operation done where they were going to draw fluid out of her lungs to relieve her lungs of the fluid that was building up, that was being secreted by the cancer. And she looked at my grandfather that night. It was probably 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. And she said, "I'm done." And we both didn't have to ask her what she meant. We knew that in that phrase, she was done going back to the doctor to have the fluids drawn off of her lungs, which, as I said, was painful and uncomfortable. Nobody had to ask her what she was meaning when she said, "I'm done." But then she followed up that statement with something that I'll never forget. She said, "I've done all I've come here to do." I mean, how do you argue with that? That we could all finish our journey in life with a phrase so resolute and clear, "I've done all I've come here to do." A couple of weeks later, my grandmother was in the care of the Angels of Hospice, and a couple weeks after that, she had drifted away into the eternal rest that comes with everlasting peace. And that was the end of my grandmother's life. I think about her on days like All Saints Sunday, when we celebrate the lives of all those who have gone before us and finished their courses of faith. I think about all of the people who we celebrate as we gather here in this sanctuary today. I think about death and life and what it means to have the joy of knowing saints in our midst. And oftentimes when we think about saints, we probably have in our mind the image that sometimes we see in the Catholic Church of those who are portrayed in images with golden halos around their head. We assume that there are people who lived lives that are better than us, that are sort of elevated to a sainthood status, that are venerated and celebrated. And I have to say, I think sainthood is actually about acknowledging that people have finished their course in faith, that they're now resting from their labor, and they're ordinary people like you and us, and you and I. And the reason why I believe that to be true is because of this story of Jesus, who encounters Lazarus. A couple of phrases earlier in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick. He knows that he's sick. He knows that he's not well, but the news comes to Jesus that Lazarus is sick, and Jesus says, "Don't worry about it. This isn't the kind of disease that causes death." You can read it. If you read all of John chapter 11, Jesus says, "Don't worry, Lazarus will make it. This isn't the kind of sickness that causes death." Sure enough, a little bit later, Jesus finds out that Lazarus is getting more sick, and he advocates that the disciples go back to Judah because Jesus wants to visit his friend who's sick. And the disciples say, "No, Jesus, you can't go back there. If you remember, just a week ago, all of the religious leaders in that area want to stone you to death. How can you go back there?" Jesus had been doing all of these miraculous things, and the religious leaders were starting to get a little bit uncomfortable with the number of folks who were taking an interest in Jesus' ministry. So Jesus says, "We need to go back to visit my friend." And sure enough, they walk back to visit Lazarus, and Lazarus has already passed. And Mary and Martha look at Jesus and say, "Jesus, where were you? You wasted these 2 days that you could have taken off and been here. And if you had been here, your friend Lazarus would not have died." I don't know if you've ever had a moment like that, when you sort of clench your fists and are upset with God, knowing that if God is the God of resurrection, if God is the God of hope, if God is the one who can bring sick people back to life and heal them, why didn't God show up now? For your husband, or for your wife, or for your daughter or son, or aunt or uncle, or whomever else you may be grieving on this day. And unlike most of us who show up when a close friend or family member has died, and we want to say the right thing, we want to bring the right word, we want to offer the comforting message, Jesus shows up and he doesn't say, you know, everything happens for a reason. He doesn't say that God needed another angel, Lazarus, in heaven to Mary and Martha, his friends. He doesn't offer any Hallmark platitudes whatsoever. Jesus simply shows up, and what does the scripture say that he did? He wept. Which I think is probably the most pastoral and appropriate, supportive, compassionate response when somebody's grieving. Compassion, the word for compassion comes from the same words in Greek that mean to have a stomach ache, which is to say you're taking somebody else's ache and internalizing it inside your own being. That's when you know you have a true friend. Somebody who shows up and just sits with you in the pain. Who knows that there isn't much that they can do to bring your loved one back. There isn't any magic wand that can bring them back to life. Who knows the depth of your grief and sits with you in that and weeps. And that's exactly what Jesus does in this story. And Bailey already told you that Jesus immediately turns and says, "Now where is this man, Lazarus? Show me where he's been buried." And sure enough, they go to the tomb. And Jesus says, "Open the tomb." So they roll away the stone, which foreshadows Jesus' own resurrection and conquering of death, a message of hope that we hold on to even in these times. And Jesus, standing at the edge of Lazarus' tomb, says, "Lazarus, come out!" And whether you choose to believe in this story as a literal story of resurrection, or if you choose to read it in a symbolic way that acknowledges that the pain and the suffering attached to death doesn't get to have the final word, the message to this story is clear to me. One, it's okay to be angry with God when you lose somebody that you love. If Mary and Martha can look Jesus in the eyes and shake their fist angrily and say, "Where were you? We sent word for you. You were supposed to show up for us. We needed you here sooner. If you would have gotten here sooner, Lazarus would still be alive." God's shoulders are big enough for us to be upset, to ask why, to have anger in the very fabric of our being. To be upset with God is okay. God can handle it. The second thing is this: if you know somebody, and most of us do in these times, who's grieving, the best thing that you can do is to show up for them and simply weep by their side. You don't have to offer any anecdotal answers. You don't have to give them any reasons for their suffering. You can simply just show up and be there. And the third message out of this story that I hope you take with you as you move throughout the days and weeks and months and years to come is this. This story reminds us that death isn't the end of the story. Jesus shows up and yells to Lazarus to get up and come out of the tomb. And in the story, it says that Lazarus stood up, and still with the cloak of death and the stench of death, Lazarus emerges from the grave and walks out and is reunited with Jesus, his friend. Lazarus wasn't some special person other than that he was a friend of Jesus Christ. And that's the good news on All Saints Sunday. It's not just Jesus or Peter or Paul or all of the other great thousands and thousands of saints that have been venerated, that are raised into life eternal. It's ordinary folks like Lazarus who are raised to new life. And I guess what that means for you and me is, as we celebrate all of the folks in our lives, in our midst, in our community, who have gone on to be with God, we can have hope, that we can have assurance, that we can have trust and faith that someday we will be able to look them in the eyes again. And that moment that we said our last goodbye is not the end of our relationship with them. They live on in all of us. The photographs that we share forever on our hearts continue to be one of their gifts of presence in our lives, their voice in our head, the opportunities that we have to reflect and celebrate and remember with smiles and tears, the lives of those whose lives are remembered in these candles before us are not over. And someday we will see them again. Someday they will greet us at the gates of eternal life. Perhaps even now, if you close your eyes, you can imagine them looking down on us, celebrating the memories that you created together, trusting that these flames are symbols, beautiful reminders of all of the great saints of light who have been here among us. So as we continue to move through this service, we invite you, if you would like to come forward and light a candle so that you might be able to celebrate and remember the lives of the great saints who have gone before. May these flames be a reminder that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, that there are saints all among us, and our job is to continue to live like they did, to continue to be a blessing like they were, to continue to love and sacrifice like they did. We celebrate them this day, trusting that someday we will again be reunited with them. And until that day, we say, well done, good and faithful servants. To God be the glory, now and forever, until we're reunited. God's grace and peace be with you. Amen. As we continue this time together, I'd like to lead us in a litany of remembrance. We're going to sing from The Faith We Sing, which is hymn number 2283. Some words for all the saints, and I invite you from wherever you're seated here in the sanctuary to sing along with us. You can sort of hum if you'd like. But we sing in remembrance of folks who we've lost. And we remember them together. And we pray God's blessing on all of you who are grieving this day. May God's Holy Spirit be with you as we celebrate their lives. Will you please join me in hymn number 2283?
All the saints, for mindful women, caring men, accept our gratitude again.
Names of some of the saints of our church who we've lost this year in 2020. And as we hear these names, we'll hear a bell that helps us remember the lives of all of the great saints of light who have gone before, each one being symbolized by a bell. And so we remember this day Evelyn Davidson, Dorothy Hartkopp, Dorothy Kelly, Phyllis Kersley. Tom Cluck. Marion Lancaster. Ernie Lux. William McCreary. Rochelle Miller. William Gary Pressey. Bruce Schumann. This time I'm going to read the names of family and friends of congregants here and invite you to hear these names. And when I finish reading them, I invite you to just sort of share any names of folks in your life that you may be grieving the loss of that aren't printed here in this bulletin. But I'll share these names with you. Linda Reichs Caney, Mike Dalecki, Will Deisinger, Judith Gasper, Susan Groka, Walt Gursky, Chester Harkowitz, Joy Motley, June Nance, Sally Tisch, Lena Updegrove, Carol Wisser. And I invite you to share any other names of folks that you're remembering on this day. We know that sometimes grief can last a lifetime, that life is never the same when somebody passed away who we care about. It may feel like a piece of ourselves is gone the moment that they draw their last breath, and yet a piece of them lives on in us forever. And so we celebrate all those who have been lost in years gone by. We remember them. And we celebrate their lives. We give thanks for their memory. And we know that they are waiting for us when we enter ourselves the gates of the church triumphant. And we remember them in our hearts this day. Amen. The following gifts were purchased through the generosity of congregation members and through the use of memorial funds and dedicated to the glory of God. We received a gift of prayer quilts in memory of Joy Motley so that people in our community would continue to know the support that they have and the comfort that they have in Jesus Christ. We dedicate this gift to your glory, O God. And the United Methodist Women gave gifts for the mission of our church in memory of Marion Lancaster, Joy Motley, Tom Cluck, Gary Shales, Chester Harkowitz, Kenneth Terry, Bruce Schumann. In remembrance of these faithful servants, we dedicate these gifts to your glory, O God. And I invite you to continue praying with me with a prayer that will be on screen this morning. Most loving God, through you, what we dedicate today has meaning. Accept the gifts in memory of your saints and for the work of your church. Grant us your blessing, that these gifts may be an enduring witness before all your people, and that our lives may be dedicated in your service through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to continue in prayer with me this morning as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There are many ways to respond to God's word in our midst, and one of them is through the gifts of our financial generosity, and there are still some offering baskets in the back that if you are interested in giving in person, I know many folks are giving online, but you're welcome to leave your gifts in the offering plates as you leave the service in a little bit. I wanted to share with you some encouraging news here in 2020. We executed our capital stewardship campaign over the course of the month of October. You heard testimonies and saw videos of folks who talked about why they give to our church and what their gifts have done. Well, we were bracing. We were sort of anxious about how those gifts would come back. We were, as most nonprofit organizations, sort of afraid that maybe this was going to be a down year. We might have to make some difficult decisions. Well, so far, after 4 weeks in the campaign, we've received 154 pledges, an increase of 22 pledges over where we were at the same time last year. And I've got to tell you, it's mostly because, and I have only dug into the numbers a little bit, it's mostly because most of the folks in our church increased their gift. So I just want to say a big thank you to all of you for making the church a priority in your giving in the upcoming year. Your gifts continue to be one of the small ways that the church's light shines in the midst of what can be and is a very anxious and dark time. My hope is that the church's light will continue to shine brightly and that we'll continue to be a place both for sinners and saints to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen. The bells behind me, but I don't think it was a bad thing. It was nice to hear them ring. It's always an honor to be able to preside over communion. And I think it's a special honor to be able to preside over communion on a day like All Saints Sunday. At the end of the day, when we oftentimes feel the loss of a loved one most when they're not present at a table. Amen. During the holidays, as we come into this time of Thanksgiving and Christmas, there may be some tables with a missing spot at it, and it won't feel quite the same. But 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was sitting with his disciples, he looked at them in the eye, and he told them that this was going to be their last meal together. And the disciples doubted him. And Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me. And one of you is going to deny ever having known me. But one way or another, this is our last feast together." And on All Saints Sunday, it feels like we're receiving communion not only in the presence of the people who are gathered here in the sanctuary and those who are watching online, but also we're receiving communion in the presence of all of the saints who have lights here among us. If we close our eyes, we can imagine this incredible feast spread over a massive banquet table. And I always say, when we all get there, we're going to be really surprised about who's sitting across the table from us. And chances are, they'll probably be surprised to see you too. But that's the good news that we have in Jesus Christ. That 2,000 years ago, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke it, not for perfect people, but for people like you and I. And he said, "This is my body which has been broken. Take it and eat it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And when that supper was over, he took a cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. for the forgiveness of sins. And so we gather as children of God around this heavenly banquet, and we say, come, Holy Spirit, make these elements of bread and cup be something extraordinary. Fill us with hope for the journey ahead. Nourish our bodies and our souls with the food that we need for our very survival. Transform us, O God. Make us be ever more in the image of Jesus Christ, your Son. Transform us, renew us, remake us, and help us to follow in the example of all of the great saints who have gone on before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You don't have to be a member of this United Methodist Church to receive communion this day. It's not Brighton First table. It's not a United Methodist table. It's God's table. And frankly, that's why I'm United Methodist, because we have no barriers around communion. Anybody can partake. So I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward and take these elements. It's weird to not just come forward and receive communion. I've got to name that. It's true. But I'd like you to take communion as you leave the sanctuary today. And maybe it gives us a chance to be in solidarity with our brothers and sisters all around the world who have lost their support, lost their community. As we take communion, may we for just one moment remember all those who are eating meals by themselves. And may we deeply within our intestines have compassion for the loneliness and grief that they're feeling, knowing that the church can be part of their community even in these times. Will the ushers please come forward and receive these elements on our communion table? And those elements will be available for you after service. Feel free to grab. The wafers are on top and there's juice underneath, and we encourage you to be united in the Spirit that gives us comfort even as we grieve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for being a part of our All Saints service this day. I hope that it was a blessing for all of you, and it's my prayer that whenever your course of faith is finished, that you're able to look your loved ones in the eye and say, I've done all I've come here to do. What a gift that is. So may you take whatever time you have and do the things that you need to do so that when your story is written, you can say you finished your course in faith, and you can be blessed enough to rest from your labor. We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded by their gifts of love and compassion and grace, and we celebrate them this day. Earlier this Tuesday, I saw a report that came out of the CDC. Perhaps you saw this report as well. In the United States, they're able to total up the number of people who have died over the last 5 years and kind of run an average on that so that they project about how many people will die in this year. Maybe you saw this, but here in the United States, we've had 300,000 more deaths this year than we had over the last 5 years if you average those years combined. Some of those folks have died because of infectious disease. Some of them have died because of suicide. Some of them have died in car accidents and heart attacks. And some people have been afraid to go to the hospital until it's too late. No matter how these folks have died, there are 300,000 families that are missing them in the United States today. And I think about them as we light these candles here in our sanctuary. And I feel a calling to be Christ-like in their lives, to love the families who are grieving, to make phone calls to folks who we know are isolated, to support folks in our community who need to hear from somebody with hope. So that's our charge as we depart from this place, to be like Christ, to show up for those who are grieving, and to weep by their side. As we depart from this place, I pray we would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.